We get to celebrate this morning that Christ is risen, and for that we have hope and always a cause to celebrate. I want to invite you to turn with me in your Bible to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. We think about this morning the resurrection of Christ. I want us to think for ourselves this morning about the benefits of the resurrection. As we look through the New Testament, we see that those who experienced the risen Savior understood the great benefits that came with the resurrection of Christ. We think about the reality that because Christ has been raised, we understand that if we are in Him, we will be raised as well. That we're raised to new life in Christ, that we have an eternal life with Him. We get to spend an eternity with Christ raised. That because He is raised, He sits at the right hand of the Father. He is there ever making intercession for us. The benefits of His resurrection. In Philippians chapter 3, Paul is talking about the change that has taken place in his life. And as a part of that change, his desire is to know the power of the resurrection of Christ and to attain the resurrection from the dead. His life is changed because he saw Jesus. He saw Jesus raised to new life. He saw Jesus raised from the dead by His heavenly Father. He saw the power that God had over the grave. We see that in the book of Acts as Paul is walking on that road to Damascus. And he encounters the risen Savior, Jesus, the one he had persecuted. He sees Him raised, and for him, it is the transforming moment of his life. Everything is then different after that because Jesus has been raised. And so as he is writing to the church at Philippi, here in chapter 3 of the book of Philippians, he is talking about these benefits that have taken place in his life. Because Jesus has been raised and he has witnessed the risen Savior. I invite you, if you're able this morning, to stand with me as we reverence God's Word together. Philippians chapter 3, beginning in verse 7. Philippians chapter 3, beginning in verse 7. Paul writes these words, "But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For this sake I have suffered the loss of all things, and I count them as rubbish, in order that I might gain Christ and be found in Him. Not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection, and may share His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead." You may be seated. This morning, as we celebrate that Christ is alive, that He has risen, I want us to think about three benefits of the resurrection of Christ, three benefits that the resurrection of Christ affords the follower of Christ. Three benefits. Paul lays out three specific things that are taking place here in his life. If we go back in chapter 3, he has given this warning to the people there that they need to be aware of those who are concerned about the things of the flesh. He says, if we look at the things of the flesh, we look at the things of this world, the temporary things. He says, I can beat anybody in this argument. I can out-argue anybody on the merits of the things that I have done or seen or been a part of. He said that he was circumcised on the eighth day. He was of the people of Israel. He's of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, a Pharisee. He kept the law. He was a persecutor of the church, and for those in the flesh, that was an important thing. His righteousness under the law, he says, was blameless. But then he experienced the resurrected Christ. And he realized that the first benefit that he had was that he gained Christ. The first benefit of the resurrection is that we gain Christ. He says, all of this stuff that I had, all of these merits that I had, all of these things that meant something in the world, he says, I count them as loss for the sake of Christ. In fact, he says, I've suffered the loss of all things. You know, Paul had went from a prominent person, a person who was well-versed in the law, a person who was well-respected among those around him, and he has went to a person who has lost everything. Everything that was once important to him, it's gone. Everything that was important to the people around him, everything that signified who he was, everything that was about his identity, well, it's gone. It was completely and utterly changed because of Jesus. Everything about his past, everything that was important, he says now that he counts them as rubbish. He lost them. And if we're honest, a lot of times if we would lose all the things that Paul lost, we would be quite upset about that. We would feel like we have lost something great, that our identity has changed, that our identity is gone. But Paul says, because I have experienced Christ and I saw Him raised and I understood His resurrection and the power of His resurrection, all of those things are now gone. All of those things that were important are now unimportant, and I understand that they were unimportant. Not only has he lost those things, but now looking back at who he was before, again, this Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. All of these things, he looks back, and those things were so important to him. But then he experienced Jesus, and he experienced the resurrection of Jesus and the power of the resurrection of Jesus. And because of that, he lost all of those things. But he gained Christ. He lost all of those things that seemed important, but he gained Christ. And now he understands that all of those things that he once had were rubbish. They're trash. They're worth nothing. They seemed important at the time. They seemed like they were the defining characteristics of his identity. But once he lost them, that he would gain Christ, he was able to look back and see that those things were quite unimportant. In fact, again, he calls them rubbish, trash. Some of your translations may say dung. That's how he viewed who he was before and those things that were important to him before, because he gained Christ. As we gather this morning to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus, we should understand that in comparison to Christ, everything else that we define ourselves by is rubbish. It's useless. And you might see it as very important. And in the working of the world, it may be considered very important. But Paul says that he had all of those things which were exceptionally important to his life. But then when he gained Christ, when he lost all of those things, which that's how God worked in his life, all of those things were taken from him that he might gain Jesus. He's able now to reflect back on who he was before and understand those things were not nearly what he thought they were. They did not give him what he thought they gave him. You would think that being the Hebrew of Hebrews, to being the Pharisee who kept the law with great zeal in which he used to persecute the church, righteousness under the law, he was blameless, they could find no fault in him. That all seems great. But Paul says, in comparison to gaining Christ, those things have no value. Friends, as we think about the resurrection of Christ this morning, we need to understand how much the resurrection changes our identity. That we become identified not with who we were, not identified with what we do, how we contribute to society, our relationships with other people. Those are not the things that define us. For Paul, when he encountered the resurrected Lord, what began to define him was Christ. Because that's what he gained. In reality, he did not lose anything of importance. See, but whatever gain I had, I counted loss, he says in verse 7, for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything. The word there is a present, everything now, but also ongoing into the future. I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Jesus, or Christ Jesus, my Lord. Do you understand that about your life this morning? That because of the resurrection, no matter what you lose, having Christ means you have gained everything. There really is nothing to lose. Paul would put it another way elsewhere, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. He understood that there really is in this life nothing to lose if you have Christ. Everything else in a moment seems important. It may be what defines you, but if you have Christ, Christ is ultimately what defines you and is what is most important. Though all other things are taken away, Paul says, I've suffered the loss of all things, but I count them rubbish in order that I may gain Christ. It seemed at the time like it was a big deal to lose those things of the past. But friends, once you've experienced the resurrection of Christ, you've experienced the risen Savior and the power of His resurrection, those things then seem rubbish because they are unimportant in comparison to Christ. Second, the second benefit for the follower of Christ in the resurrection is that the believer is found with true righteousness. The believer is found with true righteousness. Remember what Paul says as to righteousness, back in verse 6, as to the righteousness under the law, blameless. He says, I was blameless. But did he have true righteousness? Was he in right standing before God with all of these things that he did that he thought were so very important? Well, he says, no. Verse 9, to be found in him. So all things have passed away for him. He's experienced the resurrected Lord. He's gained Christ. And then to be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law. Remember, he said in relationship to the law, all these things that God had said he was required to do. He said, what? I was blameless. I did everything God said I had to do. But he realizes here, when I gained Christ, I understood that the righteousness that I needed was not mine. It was not a righteousness that came from doing a bunch of good things. But rather, he says, but not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith. It's sometimes really easy for us to think about doing things that makes God happy. And maybe you don't care about that. If not, it may not be the spiritual maturity that you think it is. It may be spiritual apathy on your part. But it's easy to think about the things we could do to make God happy with us, because that's how so many of our other relationships work in life. That we try to do things, good things for other people, that they might like us. That's not necessarily bad. I mean, if you're a husband this morning and you never do anything nice for your wife, you're kind of a crummy husband. You should do nice things. But our relationship with God does not work that way, where we are trying constantly to do things to garner God's favor. Well, if I show up at church for the sunrise service, God will be pleased with me. Well, if I pray before I eat my meal, that's going to make God happy. Or I haven't read my Bible in a while, and so I'm going to read my Bible, and that'll help to make God like me more. The thing is, the way Paul was doing his relationship with God, working toward his relationship with God before Christ, that's what he did. His goal was to be blameless before God, according to the law, so that God would be happy with him and pleased with him. That he'd have to carry out the works. Those are the things he lists earlier in this chapter, these works of the flesh. He had to make sure, his parents had to make sure that he was circumcised on the eighth day. He was from the right tribe. He was a persecutor of the church. Why? Because that was his zeal. That was what he thought would make God happy, because God surely was not pleased with these Christians who had distorted what God had said. So he was out persecuting them. Why? So that God would be pleased with what he was doing. But he says, now that I've gained Christ, and those things of my past, those things of the flesh, now that they don't matter to me, now that I've lost them, now that I understand that they were rubbish, I want to have a righteousness. I want to have a righteousness that's not of my own, that is not of something I've done from the law, but is something which Christ has done for me. I want to be in Christ, which means that I have His righteousness. And it's a righteousness that comes from Jesus through what He did on the cross. It's made available to me by His resurrection. And now it means that I put on that righteousness, or maybe better put, Christ puts that righteousness on me. See, when we try to do it on our own and work it out on our own and go through the motions to make God happy, we're really just showing our pride to think that somehow we could do enough good things to balance something out. Friends, that's not the Christian faith. It might be many Eastern religions, right? You need to do more good than bad, and that way you have good karma or good whatever, because you've done more good than bad, and it kind of outweighs the scale. But see, that type of thinking is our righteousness compared to maybe the righteousness of our neighbor. We say, well, our neighbor is not a very righteous person. Our neighbor, he's not very nice to the people around him. Our neighbor, you know, he's got some problems. Our neighbor, he acts poorly toward other people. Our neighbor is not nearly as charitable as we are. Our neighbor's got a problem with drugs. Our neighbor abuses alcohol. Our neighbor is unkind to other people, and I'm not like him. I'm not like him. I do all these good things. And so my righteousness is pretty good compared to his. But see, the scales of God's judgment are not weighed by our righteousness versus our neighbor's. The scales of God's judgment are weighed against us in the perfection that God demands versus our righteousness. The holiness of God and the justice of God against our righteousness. When you look at it like that, you don't look quite as good as you did when you're comparing it to your neighbor. And just think, you may have other neighbors who are comparing theirs against yours, and they feel pretty good about themselves. And so the question is, when it all comes out, when it all comes to a wash, who is actually better than anybody else? But that's not God's standard of judgment. And Paul, because he has experienced the resurrection, he understands this. He realizes that the scales of God's judgment are no longer based on the law that he has tried to keep, the law which he thinks he is blameless. But rather the question for him is, do I have the righteousness of Christ or not? Because the gift to the believer is that Christ died on the cross for our sins, and on the third day he was raised according to the Scriptures. And if we are in him, we've gained Christ, and now we are in him, then we are given his righteousness. And when God looks at us, he does not see our attempts to be blameless according to the law, but rather he sees Christ in his perfection, offering his blood for us. And he gives his life, and God raises him from the dead, and our sins are forgiven, and we are raised to new life. Because we have the righteousness of Christ. Friends, as you go through life, don't go through trying to please God. We certainly work for God. We certainly serve Him because He is our Lord and Savior. He has created us for good works, that we should walk in them. There is no doubt about that. But friends, what pleases God is not what you have done, but His Son who has been raised, covering you with His righteousness. Taking your sin, the ugliness, the wickedness of your sin, and it being upon Him on the cross and giving you His robe of righteousness that covers your ugliness, that washes your sin away. And in that you have new life, and in that you have the benefit of the resurrection, that you have this righteousness that only comes through Christ, that only comes through faith. And Paul says both, my life has been defined by these things that were important being gone, and now my new life being in Christ and me having His righteousness. His righteousness that gives me right standing before God. So you gain Christ, you're found in Him and with His righteousness. And then a third benefit that we see is that the believer may know Christ. You may know Christ. When Paul is talking here about knowing Christ, this third benefit of the resurrection, he is not talking about some type of intellectual knowledge where you know some stories from the Bible. Or even maybe you know the grand narrative of the Bible. That God created us, that humanity fell, that God sent Christ to redeem us from our sin, that Christ is coming again to consummate the kingdom, to bring it about, to start eternity and call His people to Himself. That grand story of the Bible. You may know that. But what Paul is thinking here is he is talking about this idea in verse 10 that I may know Him. It is a much deeper, more intimate knowledge than just some head knowledge. He has in mind here a much deeper knowledge than simply walking the aisle of a church and praying a prayer and being baptized. Because what he says he knows about Jesus requires an intimate depth of knowledge from someone who is spending time with Jesus so that he might know Jesus more and more. Because he says in verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. I mean, he could have stopped there. Do you think deeply about the power of his resurrection? The fact that in Christ, when we are in him and we know him, we have that promise that we will be raised with him. That death, which is the great enemy of humanity, has lost its sting. That the power of death has been taken away because of the resurrection of Christ. That because Christ has been raised and the power of his resurrection, we know that we will be raised too. That just like he is, we will be also. Friends, that's not an understanding that comes from a mere intellectual knowledge of Jesus. If you've ever spent time with someone who really knew the Lord and had gained Christ, and they were coming near the end of their life, a time that is frightening for so many people, and yet so often those saints are filled with joy. Why? Because they have known Christ. They have gained Christ. They fellowship with Christ, and they understand the power of his resurrection that is coming in their life. They see it ahead of them. And they're not worried about it. They're not scared of it. Why? Because they have experienced Christ and they know that power that they will experience in the resurrection. He says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, may share his sufferings. We often want to stay as far away from sufferings as we can, and yet it is the Christian experience that sufferings often bring about growth. Becoming like him in his death. What did Jesus do in his death? He killed sin. That was the power of Christ, is killing sin on the cross. So when Paul says this here about becoming like him in his death, it's not that Paul is thinking about his own death, but his own putting to death sin in his life. Remember what he said before. He said, before I understood myself to be blameless before the law. I kept the law at every point. I always did what God said. But he becomes a Christian. He experiences the resurrection of Christ. And he realizes, I'm not who I thought I was. I'm not the perfect person I thought I was. But in Christ, he says, I'm gonna work in my life to kill the sin in my life. Just like Jesus kills sin on the cross, I'm going to work in my life to put sin to death. I want my death to self, the death of my pride, to be like Christ, putting sin to death. He says that any way possible, verse 11, that I may attain the resurrection from the dead. This benefit of the resurrection is that we would know Christ. Friends, I think it's frightening how superficial most Christians' relationship with their Savior is. They don't really know Jesus. I'm not talking about they don't know anything from the Bible. They may know plenty of things from the Bible. But they know them only in their head. They only know them as facts or stories that they can tell or repeat. They have not experienced the power of Jesus because they do not spend any time with Jesus. They never take the time to have awe and wonder about what God has done for them. It's just not important. They simply just do not spend that time thinking about who Jesus is and what Jesus has done for them in such a way that it breaks their heart, that it encourages their heart, that it gives them joy, that they come under conviction about their sin, that they look forward to what is ahead. See, Christ died and was raised, and a benefit for you is that you may know Him. Not simply be saved from your sin, but intimately know the God who made you. Paul sees all of these benefits of the resurrection, and it humbles him. You know, we could read verse 11 there and think that there's some doubt in his mind, but it's not really doubt. It's humility. Remember, he began arrogant. I was all of these things. I came from the right family. I had the right knowledge. I took the right actions. And now all of those things are rubbish because I've experienced the resurrected Lord. And so when he comes to verse 11, he says, I see these things, I do these things, I'm a part of these things that I may gain Christ and be found in Him and know Him that by any means, verse 11, possible. By any means possible, I may attain the resurrection of the dead. There's a humility in that. An understanding that he is quite unworthy to be raised up with Christ. And yet Christ is gracious to raise him up. So I wonder this morning, as we come to the resurrection, do we do so with that level of humility? Where we look at everything we were before Christ and we realize that it is rubbish. But that through Christ we can gain Him. All things can be counted as loss and we can gain Him. That He gives us a righteousness that is not our own but is His. And that is the only way we have right standing before God. And that our commitment in life, the commitment of our heart, is to know Jesus. You think about all these things that you do know. All of these things that are contained within your brain, all of this knowledge. But the question is, with your heart, do you truly know Christ? See, there's great benefit. There's great benefit from the resurrection for Christians. The Puritan Philip Melanchthon said this, "To know Christ is to know His benefits." This morning, do you know the benefits of the resurrection? Now you say, "Well, I'm saved, I'm going to go to heaven." That's a great benefit. The alternative is unimaginable. Do you realize that Christ has truly gifted you through the power of His resurrection? He's truly gifted you with unimaginable gifts. And you, because of Christ, have the opportunity to lose things that do not matter to gain that which is most precious. So as we celebrate that Christ is risen this morning, the question for us is, what are we doing? What are we doing with the benefits, the advantages that we have been given because Christ has been raised? Has it transformed your life so that you truly know Christ? Will you bow your heads with me as we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your goodness and grace. We thank You that You love us and care for us, that You've given us hope that is beyond all measure. And so this morning, my prayer for each of us is that we would we would go from this place rejoicing. Rejoicing because Christ is risen. But not only that, but the risen Christ has called us. We can gain Him, take on His righteousness, and truly know Him. Help us all this morning to truly seek to know You. Help our relationship not be superficial. But God, call us to know You more deeply. And God, transform our heart more profoundly. God, we thank You for the grace that You've given us. We thank You for the power of the resurrection and the promises fulfilled. God, the promises that are ahead. God, help us to follow You faithfully. Lead and guide us. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.